Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
We're going to do sport with MG. We're going to talk Donald Trump. He may go to jail today. That's big news. Gwyneth Paltrow, what's she whopping up her poop chute these days? She's always up to something with her goop brand. Charlie Sheen believes in the Loch Ness Monster. Tried to find it. Who knew? We'll have an election update. Limo swings by. A lot to get through. But, MG, I don't know how this happened. I was watching television last night, and I must have been flipping around, and I've landed on maths. Now, you know I'm not a...
Yes, he's a convert. We've got him.
No. But I land on maths just in time to listen to what I believe to be the most inane argument I've ever heard between a couple over centuries. And I can't... Now, who's the couple I'm talking about? It's over a cupboard. You know what I'm talking about.
Of course. Melinda and Leighton.
Yeah.
Well, he's an idiot and she's a cow. They were just like going at it because Leighton's left a cupboard open and she has blown up. Here they are discussing the furore.
So the first thing that Mel said this morning was, thanks for leaving the cupboard door open. And she's saying that because I think she thinks there's some dust in the cupboard and she's got allergies. I didn't know I was leaving. I didn't even think I left the cupboard door open.
I get really bad hay fever and we've been away for a few months, so all my clothes in the cupboard will have dust on them. I'm allergic to dust mites. I've looked over and seen the cupboard doors open. So I walked over and said, thanks, Leighton, the cupboard's open. No tone of voice, no anger, nothing. It doesn't matter what I do or how I say it. He's got to take everything as an attack on him.
Can I please have my bag?
What are you doing?
I'm going home.
Okay.
I wanted to go kayaking.
This is stuff we need to work on, Mel. I do constantly feel like I'm being attacked.
If I keep going, I'm going to say some stuff that I don't want to say, so I'm going to just kindly exit this situation and I'm going to go.
The whole show's your name. I love it.
Mate, this is incredible. So I'm watching this, and then they were supposed to go on a date. They're supposed to go kayaking. They've had the argument about the cupboard. She stormed off, and they just have a shot of the two lonely kayaks. After that, we crossed to a couple in a teepee. I'm going, what is going on?
Oh, you watched the whole thing.
Have I missed a meeting?
You're entrenched.
No, I am not. And by the way, MG, I think we should finish every show by announcing whether we're going to stay or leave. All right? So you ever think about how you behave on today's program.
Okay, done.
If you leave the studio door open, I swear it'll blow up in your face. You'll be in a lot of trouble. So it got me thinking, what is the most trivial... If you're on that program with your partner, what's the most trivial argument you could get into that's up there with, I left the cupboard door ajar? Have you got one for us, MG?
I've got a few.
Yes.
My wife and I usually argue over when I'm cutting my toenails on the kitchen table.
Okay, well, I'm going to step in here and say she's out of line unless you're eating at the time.
Oh. No, no one's eating.
Well, so you're not eating?
No, no.
Well, I think she needs to apologise.
I think she does too, and then I leave my wet towels on our bed. She blows up as well.
Oh, that's a doozy. That's you know what my one is? If I get, you've walked past it 10 times and you haven't made it. I go, you're not going to believe it, babe. It magically makes itself. If I leave it long enough, it magically just makes itself.
It's
magic. That didn't go down too well.
No.
Cat.
Pubic hair's on the toilet seat.
Oh.
I'm sorry, and it's very graphic. But
Tarsa just vomited.
Men are so bad at the toilet seat. It's so bad.
Yeah, we are.
We get a bad rap for the toilet seats, but I put it to you. If you go into the girls' toilets in any nightclub, not that I ever have.
No.
It's an absolute pigsty.
No, it's not.
Women keep a bathroom in worse conditions than men and blame men for everything.
Yep.
No. Yes.
Ours is makeup stains. It's not like dirty, you know, pubic hairs. It's...
look, they've got to live.
I've said that word enough. I apologise.
Yeah, get that hair down to forensics. I'll bet you it's... Oh, hello, Tash. How
are
you?
Good morning.
On that note, I'd love to bring you in on the tail end of a good pubic hair anecdote. Tash, Do you have a name? You would drive your partner. You, Glenn, poor Glenn.
Poor Glenn.
Poor Glenn.
Well,
you.
Hang on.
He should be in counselling.
He should be Australian of the Year.
Yes. What do you get stuck into him about?
He is forensic about how he packs the dishwasher. And I just throw everything
What's
in.
What's a dishwasher?
And he gets very upset on how he forensically packs a dishwasher.
Can I say this? I know boys who do this too. It's the most anal thing about being a man domestically is it's like, I'll do the barbecue, I'll cook outside, and I'll stack the dishwasher.
Yes.
And if you get involved, 133353, give us a call. What would you get onto maths for? What would you be the worst
What's the smallest thing that drives you nuts?
Come on, get involved. So we're talking about trivial arguments that couples have. Phil's on the line. Phil, domestically, you're at home with your wife. Say you're on maths. What are you going to argue about?
I have a particular way of doing laundry. Like, I actually, when I put my socks and all out, I like to pair them up. Yeah. And make sure that when I actually have to bring the laundry back in, that they're a lot easier just to sort of just put them all together in their pairs and put them away.
Yep.
But when my wife does laundry, she just puts the laundry out, puts socks here, there, and everywhere, and it drives me nuts.
What is she, an animal?
Phil, mate, divorce.
She's got to be. She's got to be.
That's counselling, right?
Yeah, then. Phil, I'd divorce her, mate. Sorry.
Oh, okay, hey.
No, my girlfriend won't pick my underpants off the bathroom floor, which I just, you know. She walks in, she can see them there lying on the ground, sunny side up, and you go, would it kill you just to do an emu bob and get the whole thing?
An emu bob.
An emu bob, you know, it's a military term for just picking up stuff.
Yeah. With a stick?
With a peg.
Now, Phil's on the line. Phil, what do you and your wife argue over?
Phil's who we just went to. He's the laundry guy.
What happened to the guy at the toilet?
Phil, do you have another one out of interest?
What happened to the caller?
He's gone. John was complaining about the toilet as well, I believe.
Oh, the toilet. Yeah. What about the toilet?
I think he got nervous.
Natasha, what were you saying during the break about toilet training your boys?
Okay. Yeah. So when I was toilet training my boys to urinate in the toilet, there used to be, you could buy it from like Kmart, a little toy that you would put in there as a dartboard so they could aim for it, and it would turn into a little truck, like a little activity for them, so they would think it was cool. Every single grown bloke that came over to our house came out of that toilet and said, how cool is that little toy in the toilet? Mm. I'm like, you're mid-40s.
Well, that's a load of fun.
Is it?
Anything, that's target practice. You should win a fluffy toy if you hit that. You should make like pinball noises. Ding, 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 ding. How much fun would going to the toilet be? See, we get in a lot of trouble for this, which I don't think is fair, specifically at night. Don't you find?
Well, I know I did one this morning. I woke up maybe about 1 a.m. And so I don't turn any lights on and be, reawakened because you can't go back to sleep when you're getting up the hours we get up. So I left the light off, went to the toilet, and in the first 10 seconds I realised I wasn't getting it in the bowl. Outside of the bowl. So I just got a towel and put the towel there and went back to bed.
It's the size of a basketball ring. What's the problem with Amy?
Yeah, but you know what? You're bleary-eyed. That's dark.
Right.
You know what I do? I just keep whipping it around till I hear the sound of water. Can you hear it on the...
Oh, come on. Turn a light on.
Eventually, and how proud do you feel, MG, when you hear hear the sound of water on water? You go, yes, I got it. How good is that?
I rest my case.
We're grubs.
And tell me, MG, when you've got the split stream going too. I mean, you can get one in, but you can't get the other one in. You got to make an executive decision on the fly. What's more important?
I think we've got an invention here. I think Tasha's dartboard should be a glow one. It should glow in the dark, so that when we go to the toilet, we've got something to aim at. Yes.
Oh, and you guys are running the world. Are they?
No, we're not. We're not.
Where's Danny? She had one.
I'm here.
Hi, Danny.
Hello.
You and your partner, what goes on there?
Yes, we share deodorant, and it has the little roll. We do.
which you guys reacted very strongly.
Roll on.
Yes. We're very clean people. And so he leaves his long armpit hair will be stuck to the rollerball. And I can't stand that.
What do you
It's a little treat.
It's so gross.
It's an appetizer.
Do you know what? At least you know your husband is being hygienic.
That's
yeah,
true.
He's been here and he's done it. Good on him. I bet you he smells lovely.
He does. Thank you.
All right. Hey, we might take some more calls on these. I'm having a bit of fun with this.
Okay.
133353 And I'll just say this. But me and MG aren't the type who sit down to do wee. That's all I'm saying.
No. That's Gussie Wallen.
Because I'm a brain-dead idiot, I ended up watching a bit of maths last night for the first time ever and witnessed the most inane domestic argument I've ever heard between hateful couple Melinda and Leighton. Let's have a listen.
So the first thing that Mel said this morning was, thanks for leaving the cupboard door open. And she's saying that because I think she thinks there's some dust in the cupboard and she's got allergies. I didn't know I was leaving. I didn't even think I left the cupboard door open.
I get really bad hay fever. And we've been away for a few months, so all my
Shut
clothes.
Shut up! Jesus! Make it stop!
I can't stand no more!
Got us talking about inane arguments you have with your partner, and boy, the phones have blown up. A lot of talk about men's behaviour in the bathroom. We're getting a lot. Ned, you can enlighten us on this. You were given toilet training.
I certainly was. My grandmother, when I was 8, gave me some very good advice that should help all men. And
yes.
If you can't get a hole that size, you'll never get in a hole any smaller.
Oh, you grandma!
Just so we're clear, how old were you again?
8. I haven't forgotten it.
Well, no, that's Yoda-style advice coming from Grandmama. No. Well done, Ned. Dave's on the line. Dave, you've had an inane argument with your wife.
Yes, mate. Yeah, look, the argument is that she always brings her Apple Watch to bed. And the other night, we're sort of, you know, I was a bit toey and sort of put it on my wife for a bit of funny business. And
sure.
She wasn't in the mood, so she sent over Mrs. Palmer. And whilst that was happening, her watch was pinging, going pinging, pinging. Oh, congratulations, you're on the cross trainer. Well done, keep going. But then 20 minutes later at 11 o'clock
this is a workout.
At night. Yeah. Well, anyway, we won't go into that. But, I mean, 20 minutes later, she tells me after the fact that those notifications go through to her mother, who's got an Apple Watch, go through to her friends that have got Apple Watches. So at 11 o'clock at night, they're thinking, what's she up to at 11 o'clock at night?
That's not the cross trainer. Mind you, if it was, I'd spend more time down at the gym, let me tell you right now. If that's a personal trainer, all right, I'm coming down for an hour again. That is fantastic. By the way, guys get busted that way, you know, that because a lot of them are linked to your partners. And if they go, well, all of a sudden he's up at 3 in the morning and, gee, his heart rate's just hit
170.
Go home. Well done, Dave. Aaron's on the line. Aaron, what's the silly argument, please?
It's the old water going everywhere in the toilet. So
Okay, sure.
I got the old Amazon bargain buy this little light that when you lift the seat up, light comes on so you can see what you're doing.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Like a fridge light. It's like a fridge door when you open the
It's pretty much like that.
Wow.
That's ingenious.
That was like my invention, which was like you push a pedal and it's like the flip-top lid, you know, on a
it's like a bin.
It's like a bin, so you bang. So imagine that. So we push it so you don't have to touch it. You push it, the lid comes up, and the light goes on. And there's a target.
Wow, what else do we need?
It's
I could go to the Top Gun Academy for weeing.
Let's go, Maverick.
Okay, Dave, what do you got for us, Dave?
Morning, all. Morning. I've been having this argument with her bride for 20 years. She leaves 2 sips of coffee in her coffee cup and leaves it next to the sink Doesn't empty it, so when I go to put it in the dishwasher, I spill coffee all over the kitchen cupboards.
Finish your coffee, love.
Exactly.
I love it.
Mate, what's... And have you had it out with her? Have you...
Mate, why, 20 years I've been having it out. I may as well have it the conversation with a brick wall.
That would be a great episode of Maths right there. There'd be tears, there'd be storm doubts. Good on you, Dave. Gavin's on the line. Gavin, an inane argument with your partner.
Hi, you guys.
Hey, Gavin.
Hey, Gav.
Can you hear me?
Yep, sure
yes,
can.
Yes, mate.
Got you, buddy.
Yeah, first things first, for the first days, go, bud. Every time we go on holidays or we pack groceries in the boot or something like that, I've got to unpack it and repack it so it fits. Every time,
yeah.
No matter what, you just pack stuff on top and you're like, no, 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 we can't even close the boot, so we're going to undo it. Make it so
yep.
It all fits nice and neat. And
Packing's a big one.
Is Gavin on the moon? Is Gavin talking from the moon or something?
He's going to be in trouble when he gets home.
You're a big shit, brother. Don't go home, Gav.
No, he's going to go home to find his wife badly packing a suitcase to leave him. All right, MG, there's a lot of controversy in many codes at the moment regarding the judiciary and how they are dealing with head knocks. So let's deal with the NRL first. Dolphins forward Felice Kaufusi was unsuccessful at the judiciary last night. He
yep.
will now miss four games for that late shot on Jackson Hastings. Is it an overreaction from the judiciary? Have they got it right? Where do you sit on all this?
Okay, let me first say that I would never question the integrity of the judiciary panel because they are all ex-players or officials, and they're doing the best they can, obviously. But I will say that the inconsistency is perplexing. It's I don't think Felice Kaufusi, that hit on Jackson Hastings, that wasn't a four-week suspension. That was
it
not a
wasn't.
Four-week suspension
yep.
because we saw... in an earlier game when Joseph Suaalii done the same type of thing, and it was probably worse, and he got a $3,000 fine. So I saw one, Mickey, in your code, Pickett on Bailey Smith. And I'll get yeah. Tony Soprano to put these, put the Kaufusi one and put the Bailey Smith hit up on our socials because Bailey Smith, the hit on him from Pickett got 2 weeks for this hit.
Yeah, yeah.
In the NRL, that would have been... probably sent off and at least 8 week suspension.
Would have been a sin bin for sure, and you're right. And we're as frustrated in our code as you are in your code, and it's the same. It's just what you said then. It's the inconsistency that you can't read. So he ran past the player and has launched. He's left
yeah.
the ground.
Wow.
He's made contact. The only thing in our code that helps him out is Bailey Smith got straight up and kept moving. Now, if he had in any way been taken from the field, it's probably a different ball game. But that necessarily shouldn't be the defining
no.
feature. If you've got to deter people from acting illegally, Shane McAdam got sent straight to the tribunal for another hard hit on a GWS player. So I don't know where it is, but I think we're all getting frustrated. Everyone's telling us to take it seriously, and that sometimes I find that when it gets sent to the powers that be, they're taking it less seriously than us.
Yep.
And that's
agreed.
The annoying thing. I've got to ask you about this. The NRL are looking to increase club squads.
Yep.
Increase the squad sizes from 30 to 38.
Yeah.
What's your feeling on that?
I'm with it. If they're gonna get serious about the 11-day resting of players yep. due to protocols of HIA, well, I agree with it. But at the moment in rugby league, we have a 4-man bench. There's 17 in a team in a squad with an 18th man who wears a blue vest, and he comes on when the HIAs reach 3 or more. Well, the way things are going, the way the HIA protocols are going, we're gonna be using that 18th man. I propose this. Instead of having 17 players in a squad and having the 18th man as the blue jacket, we have 19. Yeah. We have six on the bench that just they're there because otherwise what's going to happen is, and I reckon I think we should do it right. I start next weekend. We have six on the bench. Otherwise we're going to start to see players and teams decimated. We'll see something like a 9 players on 11 players because of HIAs. We're going to see it. It's going to happen. So
that would be bad for the game.
we've got to have contingency plans to say, okay, we don't want to see that. So let's have, instead of four on the bench, let's put six players on the bench, and you know, we'll get the other argument from the other side saying, well, we haven't got the depth. Well, you've got to find the depth, because we can't have farcical situations happening.
We're three rounds in, and most of the talk seems to be about the head knocks, and fines and penalties. Sort it, people.
It's serious.
Let's get cracking. And time to talk news, politics in particular. Let's go to America to discuss Donald Trump, and will he or won't he be jailed today? Natasha Belling joins us. Can you unpack some of this for us, please? Tash, what is going on? Is he all talk, or is this on the cards? What's happening?
Look, everyone wants to see that mugshot if the former US president is arrested. He's 76. Now, it's interesting. He's the only one that is saying that he fears he's going to be arrested. And there is a school of thought that this is a great way to rile up everyone, to see more pro-Trump protests on the street.
Fire up the base.
Exactly, yeah. You know, and fundraising. Now, he alleges that he is expected to be arrested this week in Manhattan as a grand jury investigates hush money payments paid to porn star Stormy Daniels. Now, that's wrapping up its deliberations. Now, there's speculation he will be arrested as early as today. That's now being pushed out. Meanwhile, police forces across the US are making preparations for potential unrest if the former president is arrested.
All right. And he's come out swinging, as is his style, and here's what he's had to say about the complainant.
Or the Stormy Horseface Daniels extortion plot.
the Stormy Horseface.
Only in America, baby.
Horse-faced extortion plot. Gee, there's been some great speeches from American presidents over the years. Ask not what you can do, your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for yourself. Yeah, no.
I did not have relations with that woman.
Oh, exactly. Well,
look at what we've come. Mind you, I can understand his dismay. Because she did once describe his penis as mushroom shaped. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, said,
he'd be filthy.
I think it's in court documents. How would you describe his genitalia? It's like a tiny mushroom, like a mushroom. Wow. You know, from the Smurfs, you know, one of those type of mushrooms. He's got history with the girls. He doesn't like him. Here he is complaining about Meghan Markle.
Harry is whipped. Do you know the expression?
I'm
whipped?
Familiar with the phrase.
I won't use the full expression. But Harry is whipped like no person I think I've ever seen. Good I'm job. Not a fan of Meghan.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan, and I wasn't right from the beginning.
There it goes. He has a, I was going to say complicated relationship with women, but it's not really, is
no,
it?
No.
He's an ass. Yes. All right, let's bury that now. All right, girls, time to talk Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes.
Tash and Kat, both big fans. Yes.
No. Yes.
I can't stand it. Am I allowed to say that?
What's your beef? Yes, you can.
It started with the steaming of the undercarriage, and where you literally basically sit on a humidifier. That's what she was recommending. Dangerous, unhealthy, unnecessary.
If you've got a bit of spare time on your hands.
Exactly.
Why not straddle a humidifier?
What else has she done? What else has she done to you?
Oh, Tash and I were talking about the candles.
The candle's ridiculous. It's $150. I'm not going there. She just does my head in.
Yep.
I have one of those candles.
You do not.
What candle?
We're talking about the This Smells Like My Vagina candle by Gwyneth Paltrow. Crazy. It was given to me by Jane Kennedy as a present.
For my
birthday. So what I did was I lit it and then blew it out and made a wish, which was, I wish I hadn't smelt this candle. Here's a tip. Don't get downwind of the Smells Like My Vagina candle. Do you know what happened? My boys found it in my head. They go, Dad, what's this? Just put that down and walk away. I don't know where that's been. So anyway, it's a candle. It's a product. It comes from her Goop range. Well, she's revealed this week the weirdest thing she's done in pursuit of wellness. Oh. It's called ozone therapy. And let her tell you how she takes it.
I have used ozone therapy rectally. It's pretty weird.
Yeah.
But it's been very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Bit of ozone up the poop chute. Oh, yes.
On the anus. But,
yeah, hey, make sure the candle's nowhere near that. Make sure the candle's nowhere near that. The whole thing could blow up.
No wonder Chris Martin got rid of
her. Right. That's contributing to global warming, I would have thought.
I actually like
it's,
her.
It's
I
called like, rectal. Like it's called rectal insufflation. Get into it, girls. Would you give it a go?
No, because a gastroenterologist actually said it's incredibly dangerous.
Oh,
God, you're a party pooper.
What would he know?
I'd give it a crack. Is it free?
Yeah, good.
No, it's like
is there a nearby therapist that does it?
No, but I'll tell you what to do. Just use the air hose down at the servo. Friend of the show, Limo. How are you, Limo?
Oh, hello, team. It is wonderful to be with you again. And imagine my surprise when I walk into the studio and see that Tash Belling, you are still associating yourself with this show. What are you doing? You are someone with a sparkling national, dare I say it, international reputation.
Yep.
And here you are continuing. Last time I was on the show, Tash, it was Sperm Talk with Tash Belling. Yesterday, I'm listening to the show. You're being accused of being a pothead. What are you doing?
Of pulling a bong, I believe.
Yeah. G'day, Limo.
Hello, Tash. You know, this reminds me of, remember Frank Sinatra, one of the most loved entertainers of all time?
Yes.
Then all of a sudden he started associating with the mob.
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, what's happened to Frank? This is your Australia's Frank Sinatra, Tash.
You know she goes to a clairvoyant.
Well, why didn't the clairvoyant warn you about this?
She did. She said you're going to enter very murky waters.
Yes. Oh, God.
Well, welcome aboard. There you go. Now, we were talking earlier in the show about that stupid show, Maths, and the ridiculous argument about a cupboard being left open.
Yeah.
And we had callers lined up for an hour to talk about inane arguments they had with their partner. Your beautiful partner, Kelly.
Yes.
Who is the brains of the outfit. I can't imagine you would ever get involved in a lightweight argument with her.
Mick, we've been together 12 years. Our relationship is built around trivial arguments. Does it get more trivial than this one? And I reckon a lot of people will be able to relate to this one.
Yeah.
We argue about the configuration of the pillows on the bed.
Yes. Yeah.
Because there are about 25 pillows in our bed, to which I say, how many heads do you think I got, right? But then...
Are we inviting people over tonight? What's happening?
Yeah. I didn't know there was a sleepover on the cards.
Ding
dong. But every morning she makes the bed like there's going to be an open inspection. I'm like, babe, we're selling the house. What's going on here? But when I put the... I never get the configuration right. She's like, oh, you idiot. The little cushions go on the outside. The big cushions on the inside. What are you thinking? I'm like, oh, sorry, babe. Jeez, I need to make a note. I should take a photo. I bet she changes the configuration.
Well, that's her license. And there's a lot of pillows there.
It's ridiculous, Tash. Please explain.
I have 83 pillows.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, my goodness. Something's wrong with you, sister.
I have a pillow problem. So I put lots of pillows same on our bed. I think there's like maybe 8 on the main bed. There's some on the guest bed, then the lounge bed.
I don't need pillows. You know what I need? Airbags for when it gets a little rough and tumbly. Hello, girls. Dinner's on.
Oh, no.
Airbags explode and sometimes a couple of rodeo clowns run into the room to separate us.
Just to ensure a safe dismount. Hey, so, Tash, you sound a bit like my wife, Kel. She loves cushions. So it's not just the pillows. It's the cushions as well.
Decorative. Yeah.
We have got a couch covered in cushions to which I... Well, the cushion makes the couch less comfortable because you've got to move the cushion out of the way to sit on the couch. Exactly. I said to her, I said, babe, when we bought this couch, we sat on it in the shop, looked at each other and went, hey, this is really comfortable. Guess what? There were no cushions on it. You could, Tash, in our house, you could blindfold yourself and run in any direction and you will not get hurt. We live in a padded cell.
It's true.
All right. That is a trivial one.
Yes.
Very.
It's painstaking and it takes time out of your day. Your beautiful partner, Kelly. I'm going to have a guess here and say she's away at the moment because I've never seen you speak about it like this without fear. I get the idea she's not at home listening to this right now because you were very brave outing her about her cushion fetish.
Oh, no, I would never take her on. She's on the Gold Coast with her mother-in-law at the moment. Here's a key thing about Kim that will tell you everything about our relationship. I hate conflict,
yep.
Right? And my wife absolutely thrives on it.
Right.
Which means I live in fear in our house.
We're talking about conflict because I watched, sadly, half an episode of Maths last night and saw the most ridiculous argument I've ever seen. People bunging it on about leaving a cupboard door open. And I'm asking you if you've experienced anything like that.
Yeah, so trivial arguments. Here's another one. We've argued recently about how many stubby holders I'm allowed to have.
Okay. That doesn't seem fair.
Because I got home, get a load of this, MG, I get home one night to find that she's thrown out all of my stubby holders.
Okay, no. That's not okay.
I had a little cupboard full of them, which I loved, because also they're memories as well.
Yeah, collector's items.
They'll have a pub from wherever or a footy club or whatever.
Thrown out of the...
I managed to keep this stubby holder. And I said to her, why did you throw out all my stubby holders? And she said, because they're ugly and they take up too much room. And I'm like, oh, right, okay. So they're just gone, no consultation. She has five casserole dishes that are all apparently required items. Now here's my point. I drink beer five nights a week. She hasn't cooked a casserole in four bloody years. How's that
Tash
fair?
Belling is not, Tasha's nodding away here. She's in agreement.
How many have you got? How many casserole dishes do you have?
Seven.
You won't. So, honestly. So,
and when's the last time you cooked a casserole?
1943.
Right.
And how do the stubby holders go in your house, Taj? Are you tolerant of stubby holders in the cupboard?
No, I'm okay with the stubby holders because it's true, because I used to work in the Territory, so I actually collected a lot of stubby holders from pubs all through the Northern Territory. So I'm okay with the cupboard to put all the collectors in. The other thing that does my head in about arguments is packing cars.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. No, yeah. Just throw it in. Throw it in and off you go.
Are you guys very careful on how you pack a boot?
No. Not at all.
Well, look, as it fits. I'm careful. When I put the bodies in there, I try and pack them. But when I remove them, I just usually just dump them
There's a leg hanging out that's over. Yeah.
You tend to be in a bit more of a hurry when you're taking them out of the boot.
And you make sure they're dead. The last thing you want to do is hear some thumping as you're driving along. And you go, oh, God, I've done it again.
Here we go. It's nothing, officer, seriously. Just a bit of a prank with a mate.
Can I just say about stubby holders, what is a symptom of? Every man I know who's moved in with his girlfriend has got none of his stuff through. You know what I mean? It's like a cull you have to present, and you go, hang on, what's wrong with my five cowboy hats? Or my... No, mate, no, they're not coming, and everything just gets culled on the door. All her stuff stays. All your stuff goes because it's tasteless, apparently.
That is exactly what happened when we moved house together. Kel, it was a long time, about 10 years ago we moved house, and that's what I learnt. Everything that she owns is absolutely required, and everything that I own is shit. So, you know, here's another one on trivial arguments, right?
Yep.
My wife also has a skill to manufacture an argument out of nothing.
Oh, yeah. So you know that. They're just cruising for a bruise. They just want to get a game going.
Yeah. And this
they will pick away.
This will tap back into something you were talking about earlier today. On the weekend, I'm watching the footy, right? AFL game, North Melbourne and the West Coast Eagles. West Coast Eagles footballer Oscar Allen, I don't know if you saw this, Mickey, missed a goal from 2 metres out.
Yeah.
He hit the post from 2 metres out. And I'm watching and I'm going, oh, my God, I can't believe it. How can you miss that? And Kel goes, well, what's going on? I said, Oscar Allen, what an idiot. He has just missed a goal from 2 metres out in the goal square.
Yeah.
And Kel goes, what's the big deal? I said, you can't miss a goal from there. And she goes, hang on a sec. You miss the toilet bowl while you're standing over it. So you're hardly in a position to criticise a footballer for missing a goal from 2 metres out.
And we're away again.
Here we go.
Off it goes. It is relentless. Hey, thank you for swinging by. How's the podcast going?
Very well,
Can you name it on this program?
People love it. It's called Don't Be a F... Wit. It's a self-help podcast. We just talk about the F-wits of the world.
Yeah.
And
we try and understand their behaviour.
And you do a very good job of it.
Is Marky Mark on that list?
He's got a list of people.
He's got a list.
Tell Limo who's on your list.
Yeah,
I've got a list. Well, Prince Harry was the first on the list.
Okay.
Now,
Yeah. He can take his frostbitten todger and F off.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg. The Rock. Yeah. The Rock's on my list.
The Rock's on
the Rock?
It's an eclectic list. Ed Sheeran was on there at one stage.
You can't have Ed Sheeran on that list, surely.
Guy Sebastian's on there.
What did Guy do?
He's having a noble dispute. We can't go into it now. Good on you, mate. Thanks for swinging by, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you, Mickey. Thank you, team.
Thanks, Limo.
I love Charlie Sheen. I love his antics. I love everything he stands for. The guy is the definition of a loose cannon. He's entertained us on the screens and off, as he ever. One of the great characters. I loved it when he went through his winning stage. Do we have a clip?
Yeah, we sure do.
It's like, winning? I was banging 7 gram rocks because that's how I roll. I have one speed. I have one gear. Go. I just have a different constitution. I have a different brain. I have a different heart. You know, I got tiger blood, man. I'm too smart to blink, and I cured my brain. That's epic. The run I was on made Sinatra, Flynn, Jagger, Richards, all of them just look like droopy-eyed, armless children. I exposed people to magic. I exposed them to something they're never otherwise going to see, and they're born normal lives, and I gave that to them, and that's a gift.
Droopy-eyed, armless children. You get the idea. The guy was on a roll, and boy, was it watchable. Anyway, he'd gone quiet of late, and then I was glad to receive this bit of news that Charlie Sheen has expressed a belief that the Loch Ness Monster exists. Fantastic. He's back, baby. He's on something. I don't know what, but it looks like the big fella's back. He's been a follower of this for some time, and to the point where he actually went and spent an evening on a small wooden boat out on Loch Ness, right, with a leg of lamb, a.k.a. the bait, attached to a big hook and a bottle of whiskey for him and his mates. And he sat there overnight. Now, if anyone is going to find Loch Ness Monster, it's Charlie Sheen. Yeah. Isn't that... the fact that he believes in Loch Ness and has gone to all the trouble to travel over there, that's a big night out with your mates. When you go, let's get on a plane, let's go, let's find a local, let's get a leg of lamb and go out there and throw it overboard and honk onto some whiskey. This guy, that's as good as it gets, because none of us here believe in the Loch Ness Monster. Am I right?
No, I don't.
Someone does here.
I don't want to put my same in the same camp as Charlie Sheen. Wow. I've been there. It's incredible, and I don't know
you
whether
went
you
went to Loch Ness.
I did.
Did you go there to find the Loch Ness Monster?
I think I did see Nessie.
Oh, come on.
It was after a couple of whiskeys.
Oh. And what was Nessie doing?
She was massive.
Would you harpoon it? Would
no,
you
she's
like
too
how big?
She's if huge. I would,
like a dinosaur.
And you saw this.
I did.
Oh,
hang on. I'm not the only member
of the team. I can't believe a
team.
Word you say now about
anything.
Anything news. If I ever see you reading a news report on the Loch Ness Monster, I'm going to lose my mind. So you believe the Loch Ness Monster. Kat, do you believe in anything at all?
I believe in ghosts. So
you
I've
do?
Seen, I've seen a ghost.
Yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. Moving my shoes when I was a kid.
You were moving your shoes?
No, the ghost was moving my shoes when I was a kid. And I was just like, that's too real. I'm frightened. But, yeah, and it's always stayed with me. So I believe in ghosts.
A friendly ghost, a bad ghost?
Casper,
Yeah, it didn't bother me, but the presence of it, it's eerie.
Okay, MG, I'm going to ask you, is there anything at all you're convinced is real that other people might not think is real?
I saw a UFO.
What?
Oh.
And nobody believes me.
Oh, hang on a second. There's the bombshell of the day. Now, where did you see a UFO?
Okay, so I was travelling out to Windsor to do a function in 1994. It was about 11:30 in the morning. And up above about, I don't know, it was on the skyline. It was way up there. It was just a little light. I thought, okay, that's pretty early for a star to be out. And all of a sudden, this thing just went whoosh.
Wow.
And went. It disappeared. And I was with a mate. And
was
I said,
Charlie Sheen? Were you a bottle and a half in? What's happening?
Well, it wasn't my halcyon days, so I might have been on something.
Yeah, so what happened? So it was a light, and then it just disappeared.
And
quick stick.
And I said to my mate, Spook, did you see that? Did you just see that UFO? He goes, yep, I certainly did. Yeah, so we went and told people at the function, and
No one believed us.
How did that go?
We just saw you fell on the way out here. Yeah, sure you did, mate.
Did you report it to anyone?
Just the local authorities, yeah.
What did it look like?
It looked like a star that just went really quick out of the sky. Looked like a little an aeroplane in the distance, but it was so
bright. Did you see any aliens?
No.
We anally probed.
Yes. And I went back for a second opinion.
Rania is on the line. Rania, you've seen a UFO, yeah?
Well, yes, but I didn't realise till I heard MG's story this morning.
Yep.
So I was driving in 94 Windsor at night with my mother, who were both level-headed in the 90s.
Yep.
And we're driving along a quiet road. It's always quiet Windsor at night. And suddenly I hit a car that none of us noticed in front of me, or what seemed to be a car. And we gave each other that look of where did that come from. So I stopped, got out. There was nothing there. We first saw the lights. I got out. Nothing was there. My car, I couldn't see much in the dark, and I thought I fell in a ditch. We were very confused. Got home, garage lights shining on it. My whole front end was wiped.
Oh.
And I thought, I never work out what happened until I heard MG's story. That would have been
hang
on. It's a UFO.
You're saying your car got hit by a UFO.
Well, what's this explanation except MG's story? And I'm thinking, Windsor,
all right.
Did
you get out and exchange licenses and addresses?
That was the plan.
Did you take the rego at least?
No, listen, come on.
Did it have a bumper sticker? My other UFO is a Porsche.
MG, no.
I believe you, Rania. I believe you.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Just, I look forward to you putting in that insurance claim. Kathy's on the line. Kathy, what have you seen?
Yeah, I used to work at an ice cream factory at Minto, and one of the blokes came in one day saying he saw a purple sheep up near the gate house. And we people thought, you know, he was a bit of a spinner. Well, everybody steered clear of him, and about a week later, a number of us saw it was a black sheep that had been shorn, and it looked purple.
But it was an actual sheep.
It was an actual sheep, but yeah, we had sort of steered clear of him for a week. Nobody skipped him at lunchtime, so yeah.
I don't know what you're putting in your ice cream out there, but keep it up.
But I want some.
And put me down for a gallon. Anthony's on the line. Anthony, you've seen a UFO.
Good morning, my friends. Yes, I have. I was living in Queensland about 2005, 2006, doing security guard patrols in the night. It was about 3, 4 in the morning coming from Caboolture into Bribie Island. Before Bribie Island, you've got a little town, right? And it's covered over, it's like an arch of trees, right? So you can't really see out. But as I was driving into the little town, at the corner of my right eye, I could see a flaming orange-red light. Didn't pay attention, because I was half asleep, right? Next thing you know, I'm driving into the town, and this bloody, like, this light, it just blinded me, right? And it fully shook me car, mate.
Wow.
Next thing you know, it just went, shoo, took off like a dead set rocket. I dead set, think I shit myself, no bad income. I pulled in a homie in Bribie Island, said, wake up my girlfriend. She's like, oh, you're up dead, mate, what's wrong with you? I said, I dead set shaking.
All right, that's a good story, Anthony. I think your girlfriend may have been alarmed. I'm guessing you're not together anymore. Hey, let's talk to Michelle. Now, Michelle, you're actually a paranormal investigator.
Yes, I am.
Okay, what can you bring to the table? Have you had a direct encounter yourself with something paranormal?
Several times, as have people on the teams that I work with. Usually, of course, when there's no people that are paid to be on the tour with us, usually happens when we're packing up or setting up.
So what happened? Give me a typical example of paranormal activity.
Old abandoned jail in one of the blocks that was built in the 1880s, and packing up for the night, a friend that's on the team in Newcastle with me, her and I were trying to figure out if something was the shadow of a door or if it was a figure standing there at the other end of the hall. And as I took a step back to try and focus my torch a bit better, a white face pulled back into the cell that I was standing next to.
No way.
I opened the door thinking maybe somebody was in there because we are trained to be very sceptical as well. Nobody in there, nobody in the building aside from the two of us.
Oh, that would have been a barrel of laughs.
I've got goosebumps.
Tick-tock, tick-tock. Checking the latest online. It's Mick Talk.
I have been scouting all the platforms to get to the bottom of this story, and it's a big one. Rupert Murdoch is going to tie the knot for the fifth time with journalist Anne Leslie Smith. Bad luck, Natasha Belli.
I know.
It could have been you, but no. He's gone with a different journalist. What do we know about her?
Proving you're never too old, so, or never too young. He is 92, Mr. Murdoch. 92.
Mister,
he's getting into Monty Burns territory, isn't he? He really is. But good on him for having a crack. And I mean, if you're going to be a billionaire, what better way to spend your time than bagging younger women?
Sure.
I would have thought.
She's your age group, 66.
She's cheeky, isn't she? No.
That's going to cost you.
Yeah, feather dust. Feather duster.
So you're right. She's Leslie Smith, whose late husband was a country music singer, Chester. And she says the relationship with Rupert is a gift from God after the pair met in September last year.
It's rain and money.
So they're going to get married. He's getting married for the fifth time. I worry about the other kids aren't going to be happy. How old? She's too old to have kids?
66, yeah.
I'm hoping. Yeah. They'll be okay with this relationship.
Surrogate. She could have a child via a surrogate, just putting it out there.
They could also adopt if they really want one.
Yes.
Imagine how pissed the other kids would be if they adopted a child. Because you remember Wendy Deng had a couple?
Yes.
Two girls,
Grace and Chloe.
Yes. Do you remember when she attended the Murdoch inquiry and started a punch on? Remember there was a punch on and she jumped into it?
Yeah, she was angry.
That's why I called her Wendy. Ding, ding, ding.
I would not mess with Wendy rather than Rupert. She's terrifying.
She was a handful. She was a real handful. And they look like a happy couple.
Well, he kind of looks happy. He's in his picture. He's
going out with a smile.
He's struggling to stand up.
He might outlast us all. I know. What do you reckon?
Well, cryogenics. He says we're both looking forward to spending the second half of our lives together.
Well, what's he going to be?
I'll just put it to you. His children wouldn't be too upset.
No. Every time there's a new wife, there's.
If they heard the. He'd passed.
Good on him.
These kids.
It was lovely working with you, Nick.
No, well, I'm just saying that, you know.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, no, a quick game's a good game, Dad.
They got engaged on St. Patrick's Day.
I think we're done here.
Well, to be sure. So, yeah. Well, yeah. So he's got five other kids, and they're all thinking the same thing that everyone else is thinking.
Come on, Dad. You had a good innings.
Put the stumps away.
Are we done?
Yeah, I think so. I reckon we were a bit ago.
Mick Molloy at MG in the Morning. Get the Toyota Forklift Advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.